Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Live the Fuel show. Today, we are on site at Robbins Rehabilitation. My co-host today is a gentleman by the name of Travis Robbins, one of the co-owners, brothers, founders. I'll let him explain more about that. But we're here in Macungie, Pennsylvania, just outside of Allentown, Pennsylvania. And we got put together through a mutual contact. And I like what he does here. They've got five different locations versus a lot of other PT people I come across usually have one location only. So clearly they're doing something right here. But from my research, you guys have been around for 13 and a half years now?
Yeah. Yeah, we opened up in 2003, this Monday after Easter Sunday in the back office of a chiropractor's office.
Oh, so you jumped in on someone else's business before you guys went solo.
Yeah, so minimum viable product, just trying to do it as cheap as possible. Had student loans to pay off. Didn't really want to take out huge... Well, first of all, no one would give me any money at that point. You can't even get money now, but... And I've got a much larger business now. Good luck trying to get money from a bank. But anyway, yeah, it was... I was working for a large... corporate physical therapy center. So I won't say the name of it, but it's pretty commonly known around here. Very popular in Philadelphia. They've got 600 or 800 clinics now.
Probably have been to them. So
yeah. So I was working there, and I worked there for I think about 9 months. I was the clinical director there, which was a joke because I was just the only PT that was there. So I was the default leader of that company. At the age of 23, I think.
What does a default leader mean? Just everything follows you?
Yeah, because I was the one that had the highest level degree at the time. So,
because your paperwork said so, that automatically makes you a leader?
Yeah. I saw my boss, I think, three times in the time I was there, and I was like, man, this isn't for me. So,
Are you telling me there was no training for this?
Yeah, zero training. Okay. They just said, hey, you can treat patients, just do that.
Okay, was that hard? Or was it actually easy? Did you jump right into it?
I jumped right into it. I don't know that I did a great job. Okay. I didn't have a huge leadership role. I had one PTA that was working with me. So I had an assistant and one secretary that sat at the front desk. So I did that for about 9 months. And this isn't kind of what I signed up for when I went into physical therapy school.
Okay.
So I had a doctor that was in the practice at the time said, hey, there's a chiropractor that's up the street. I think he's looking for someone to rent space from him. Like, you should go talk to him. You could probably do this on your own. He says, why are you trying to do this with, you know, making money for somebody else? Why don't you go do it on your own?
Right.
And I said, I was young. I was married at the time. I didn't have any kids. I could eat bologna sandwiches for a while. And I figured if I screwed up now, you know, I can make up for it.
Well, where's your brother in this equation?
So he's working in New Jersey. So I have a twin brother who's a physical therapist. Yep. And he worked in an environment that I really liked. I actually worked there on Saturdays.
Okay.
I would go in on Saturdays and treat a privately owned physical therapy place. Right. And they had one location. It was the owner was a physical therapist. And I said, yeah, this is more the feel that I'm looking for. But I looked around in my area and there just wasn't any. So I had to create it. And I did it really cheaply. I had some money saved up. It was mostly my wife's money saved up.
Okay.
And I did part-time work in between. Like, obviously, you know, it's not like Walmart where you put a sticker up on the door and then people just start showing up. So in the beginning, you know, I would work, you know, 2 or 3 days a week on my practice. And then the other days of the week, I would pick up part-time work so I could pay some of my bills.
So I love the transparency on some of it was your wife's money, because this is important. This needs to be real. I mean, guys, I mean, those of you who started listening to this show, it's focused on health, business, and lifestyle. So those are three categories we may end up talking about. And he's already hitting on most of this here. So clearly there was a struggle when you guys got it going, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not just the financial. I mean, I'm guessing it's a little stressful saying, hey, honey, we got to pull our money in. Launched my own business.
Yep.
Was she behind you? Let's be honest.
I played college football, so I don't remember a lot of stuff from all the concussions that I had. We didn't have like proper helmet equipment at that time. I just tell my wife, you're lucky you're not feeding me. Like, you know, my brain's barely working. But what I do remember,
I don't know if that's going to instill confidence in somebody investing
in
your business.
No. So, point being, I don't remember a lot of things. Like when I go back to high school or college, hey, remember this game? Or like, no, I don't remember that. But I do remember the night that I asked my wife, we went to Olive Garden, which I'm not a huge fan of, but I remember asking, I was like, hey, this doctor told me about this opportunity. what do you think? Like, can we, do you think we can make this work?
Okay.
And through everything that I've done, everything that I've screwed up, my wife has always been there for me. So she said, yeah, let's do it. And that's, you know, through.
And how old were you here?
I was 23.
Okay.
Yeah. So wow. I got married kind of young.
Married young, yeah.
Yeah. So as my, I'm
about to turn 39 and haven't even done it once.
It's not for everybody. Hopefully you only do it once if you do it.
I do live with my girlfriend. I mean, okay. So there's some commitment there.
Yeah. But I started dating her when I was 19. We met in college, and first date she made me dinner for Valentine's Day. And I've been with her ever since. So,
oh, sweethearts. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, through everything. I mean, she tells me I'm an idiot every once in a while, which is good because I am. And she reminds me.
Oh, I get
that
a lot.
Yeah.
So that is good. So I should take that seriously.
That's normal. But even through all of the stupid things that I've done, she's always been there to support me.
That's awesome. Wow. So, okay. So let's rewind back to your point when your brother stepped in. So I was 23. Obviously, you started building a business. When did the brother step in?
Yep. So he was working in that other practice in New Jersey. About a year into it, I had my practice in Allentown. It was on North 19th Street in Allentown.
Okay.
And there was the same doctor, actually, that kind of talked me into opening up my practice, opened up his own practice. He was working for the larger company I was working for. He just did like hours there. And he opened up his practice in Phillipsburg, New Jersey.
Cool.
And he had approached us, and I said, hey, I got a brother that's a physical therapist too. Do you need physical therapy where you're at? And he said, yeah, I would really love that. He loved what I was doing.
Right.
And we opened up a clinic that was in a house. It was not zoned for a PT clinic. There was no shower in there, but my brother and a kid that I went to college with that I graduated from, another PT, lived upstairs, and they joined the gym down the street because that's where they showered. So you've
got a dual zoned business, I'm guessing, is zoned for residential and commercial?
It was not zoned for commercial.
Yeah.
I don't think they can get me at this point.
Okay.
It was several years.
All right, a long time ago. There's a statute of limitation, people. You can't come after him.
But just another example of, you know, if you want to.
That's hustle. We hear this word a lot, but that's legit.
Yeah. You've got to do stuff like that. If anything's been handed to you, like if say you're, you know, a family member gave you a ton of money and you open up a clinic, that clinic's not open unless you've really put some of yourself into it or you've had some kind of struggle, you know, it's something you've run up against.
Well, it's like, I promise to my listeners, I will never really talk politics, but I got to bring up that quote where Trump said, oh, well, my father gave me that small loan of $1 million to start my business. And I'm like, what? Small loan or small spot? What? That's not a small spot. I was born on a farm, man, in Flemington, New Jersey. Yeah. Like, there, I don't know what $1 million looks like. I mean, we both will because we're hustling. But wow, okay, so that's cool. I agree with you. You got to work hard, and sometimes I'm sure along that path it had to feel like things weren't working, or maybe it was always working. I don't know.
Well, the next part of the step is the not working part. So The doctor that we kind of went out there to support from a physical therapy perspective, and the old way of doing physical therapy was get good relationships with doctors.
Right.
Now, the way healthcare is going is, I'm sure you've seen, it doesn't matter what part of the country. Yeah. We could talk about that for a while, but
yeah.
Wherever you are in the country, this isn't universal to my area because I work with other physical therapists all over the country, and doctors are getting bought up by the hospital. Yep. So when you went to the doctor before, you didn't go to the doctor, but some people listening.
My friend's husband's practice right down here in McCungee, the group, McCungee Medical Group.
Yep.
Yeah. So my doctor is Dr. Lee out there, but they were independent and they were a whole group of doctors, but the insurance costs and everything else went up so high. And they all just said, you know what? Everybody's calling it the network now. So it's like St. Luke's here and Lehigh Valley, they all have networks. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. And now you've lost all that entrepreneurial spirit. And now you answer to the big corporate gods, so to speak.
Yep. So there's positives and negatives to that. You'll never talk, at least I've never talked to, you know, a doc that said, sign up with the hospital. It's going great. Like you'll never hear that.
Yeah.
It's more they were kind of forced into something. So the way it used to be back when we had that practice in Phillipsburg was you go build a relationship with a doctor. It's changed a lot now, and our marketing is completely different now. But at the time, this doctor was supporting us. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a couple months after we opened, he passed away in a car accident. He raced cars recreationally.
SCCA racing?
I don't know what that is.
SCCA is, I have friends that do it, and I actually did it a couple of times. You're allowed to bring your street legal vehicle onto a closed course track
I think that's what it was.
And yeah. they have cones set up and you race yep. them and all that. Yeah. And, I mean, I took my car up on two wheels at one time. I mean, that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
You know, but clearly, okay, that didn't work out for him very well.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So unfortunately, he passed away. That was the biggest thing. The next most concerning problem was we lost our number one referral source. So wow. now the number one reason why patients are coming into our practice is gone. So what do we do now?
So what did that, I mean, just... Let's pause right there. Like, what was your mindset like right there? I mean, do you remember? Because that's like, that's crushing. That's a crushing blow.
Right. Yeah.
Was there a freakout mode? I don't know.
There was. And every time, I could tell you 10 freakout modes over the last 13 years.
Okay.
The thing is, I wouldn't trade those in.
No. Like,
now, at the time, I would have traded them in a second.
All right. This is nugget here, people. I mean, I can feel where he's going here. This is what entrepreneurship is all about. And I have a feeling you're about to transition to that. Like, why? Why do you now... trade those experiences?
Because when you run into obstacles, if you're still around, you found a way around it, right?
Right.
Or you had to become more resourceful.
Okay.
So there's not a
you
lack
to become
of
bigger than that issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not a lack of resources; it's a lack of resourcefulness. So that's where people get stuck, or that's where people quit, right? So at some points, the doctors that you know sold out to the hospital, you know, they got a check for that; they're getting a job. But at some point, the obstacles that they were coming to were so big that they took the option of, hey, this will just be easier for me.
Well, I mean, the line is the easy way out, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a shame that professionals are taken to that point. And this is another whole episode in itself, what I'm about to say, but I'm sure you can agree with this. But I mean, how many medical professionals have business experience? And I think that's what... I mean, my observation is that I think that's what, because I'm obsessed with entrepreneurship. You and I were talking earlier. This guy's Travis is a fellow obsessed podcaster, absorbing and crushing knowledge content. So, but I think that's the biggest thing is that number one, the colleges are not teaching entrepreneurship. They're not. I'm sorry. Business courses. I was a business major after I was an engineering major. So guess what they taught me? How to be good, become a really good employee. Mm-hmm. That's what they teach you. So, I mean, they're definitely not teaching this to doctors, let alone PTs and everything else. Like, this is stuff you had to learn through the school of hard knocks is what I'm getting out of this. So,
yeah, my brother and I, we always kind of knew that we were going to get into business together. So I remember being freshman and going into our advisor and saying, hey, we want to minor in business. And our advisor basically told us we couldn't do it. Like, you're not... allowed to do that. You'll never be able to.
I'm shaking my head right now, people. You can't see it.
Yeah. But that's, think about the mentality of a professor too, right? So they're an employee. Like whenever you have the employee mentality, like people are always going to direct you to doing what they're doing, right? It's safer over here.
Yep.
So.
Oh yeah. Trust me. Cause I was in the corporate world and I made more money than my friends did who had just finished their degrees. I had taken time out of school to chase that corporate dream. I busted my butt and I worked my way up and I was making more money. And they're like, what do you do? Like, how are you making more money without a degree? And I say, because I'm hustling and I'm working my butt off. But to your point, if you're that random stone or that's trying to shine brighter than the others, that's not always looked on as a positive in that environment. Your team is like, no, it's safe over here. Why are you going to do that? And like you were just talking about. So it's like, no, you need to break out.
Yeah.
You can't become part of the mold all the time. I mean, people who break out, that's what creates change. That's what creates new beginnings. And obviously, this is something that you guys had to do when this massive change happened in your business. It's like, okay, we got to break the mold. That's what I'm hearing right now. So how did you guys break the mold? Like, what was the big move? Was it a slow move, a long move?
Yeah, it's been slow. I mean, we have five practices now, but right. we've only had...
But after his death,
yeah.
that transition, was that what triggered you and your brother to start talking more closely on this subject, or...
Yeah, because it's really easy when someone's feeding you patients. Like, that's not hard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the practice...
Like an assembly line.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So when that turns off, then you have to find somewhere else to find patients. So... at that time, the way our marketing was set up, we went out and talked to different doctors. It was still, at that time, this is a long time ago.
So you're going with the one-on-one referral type, mm-hmm. professional to professional.
Yep. So it's go into a doctor's office, buy them lunch, get in front of them, say, hey.
Wait, so you guys were acting like pharmaceutical sales reps.
Same exact thing.
But for your own business. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, all right. That's actually kind of smart, actually.
Yep.
But I mean, it's expensive, but...
Yeah, and you kind of get clumped in with all the other.
You look like everybody else.
So yeah, so you don't go to a doctor much, but
nope.
a GP, like your primary care physician, will get called on at least 20 times a week by some kind of salesperson, mostly drug reps, although that's changing a lot too, what they're allowed to do. But they'll come in, they'll get an electric stim unit rep, they'll get a physical therapy group, they'll get a drug rep, they'll get another physical therapy group in the area that comes in.
Well, it's like you had mentioned, you have a nutrition business on the side. I don't know if you had that back then.
No,
not sounds like something you have offered later. Mm-hmm. But I have a nutrition business on the side. It's nothing that I created. I'm using another company's system that's very successful. But it's funny because a lot of the people, it uses the network marketing business model, the new age version, not the old MLM.
Pyramid scheme.
Yeah, exactly. Well, which actually, the funny thing is people, I love defining this in the business world. Pyramid schemes are illegal. The IRS will crack you down. So if you're working with a company that's been around for over 10 years, you're safe. They're actually legit because they're not doing that. They're actually selling a product, not trying to push people into the business. But again, this is a whole different episode. But the point is that it's funny because a lot of these coaches are like, this is the best nutrition out there. And I agree, it's top notch. But they're like, listen, you got to get out there and start working with the doctors and get it into professionals because that's going to be a guaranteed referral. And I'm like, listen, you're just going to get lumped in with every other sales rep because they're already taxed out. Even if you buy them lunch, which by the way, that changed. I think there was laws that changed against that recently in the past couple of years where now pharmaceutical sales reps can't even do that.
Yeah, the stuff they used to be able to do was nuts. They're like vacations, come speak at our lecture down in the Bahamas and we'll cut you a check for 10 grand and pay for your airfare.
Well, that was their workaround because they're putting you in a position of authority and you're allowed to speak. Mm-hmm. So it's not me just saying, hey, I'm going to buy you a giant filet mignon dinner for the next 2 weeks straight. To buy my product. Mm-hmm. That's illegal. Mm-hmm. But you can come into a teaching and educational event. That's different. So I've seen friends succeed in that job and then just get crushed over the past couple of years. And now they're doing real estate.
when you don't control what's going on, like when government regulations start changing what happens, when you don't have control over that, then you're in trouble. Yeah. And that's where we kind of ran into it. And what we've done, you know, more recently is going direct to consumer.
Okay.
So it's not so much going to the referral source and then trying to get
it. So you move from B2B to B2C.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which is what the drug company did.
And how long
years
you doing
years
that?
Ago. Probably really heavily for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Because we saw what was happening with healthcare. Okay. It was like, I've got, you know, doctors who are friends that I go to their kids' birthday parties and they're like, Travis, I can't send you work. You know, I get in trouble every time. So the hospital systems now go to all electronic tracking of what's going on.
They're tracking all that data.
Yeah, right.
Man. It's so, for tablets, you name it. They know everything that's going on.
Yeah. So my friend writes me a script for a patient that's physical therapy. They don't originate any anymore. It's like if an old patient of mine comes back to see them and they have another problem and they say, hey, I want physical therapy. He's trained or she is trained. Hey, you know, you've got to kind of go to our network. They say, I don't want to do that. I want to go to Rob's Rehabilitation. On the script, they have to write patient preference.
This is good education. So again, listeners, my posse out there. So don't think just because they tell you have to go to that person that you absolutely have to. This is what I'm hearing right now, right?
It's actually illegal. Like, if someone was sitting in that room and the doctor says you have to go to the hospital, or same thing with orthopedics.
But what if they say? I'm guessing the workaround is, well, this is who we recommend. Mm-hmm. That's legal?
You can recommend. Yeah.
Okay, they can recommend.
Because there's certainly docs out there that are still independent.
But if I have my own choice, I can just say, well, actually, this is my favorite guy or girl. Yeah. This is where I want to go. Mm-hmm. And they have to approve that?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I don't want to get into all the crazy insurance world stuff because there's so much topic on this right now. But I have a referral PPO thing, whatever, which I never use, like I said, because I'm too healthy. I love bragging about that. Sorry.
It's good.
I go to the doctor and he's like, why are you here? Okay. I'll see you in 5 years.
Yeah.
So, but that's what that's all about, right? I mean, you have the freedom to make your own choices and not be told where to go.
For sure. By your medical practitioner.
Right.
Now, your insurance company is different. Okay. Depending on what insurance company you have, they might only participate with certain practitioners.
If they're going to pay the bill, okay, that you might have to listen to. Yeah. Okay. All right. But now, here's what frustrates me. And I'm not saying anything against the medical profession because it is needed. Trust me, I'm an adrenaline junkie and I have effed myself up repeatedly over the years. So, you do need doctors. But what frustrates me is I'm much more holistic, much more natural these days, fueling the body right with the right nutrition. You stay super, super healthy. You have less health issues usually. But I like to go see chiropractors or PT. And there's a lot of insurance companies barely even cover that stuff nowadays.
If chiropractic benefits are starting to go down,
yeah,
that's another podcast conversation.
Yeah.
Physical therapy, too, they're starting to pay less and less for that. Part of our profession, both chiropractic and physical therapy, is starting to move towards a cash-based system, similar to what
dentists have done. That's the way I do it now. I pay.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I see all different people because I love mixing it up, and I'm like, I'm just going to go do my own thing.
Mm-hmm. So. And with the way deductibles are now, like I have a family plan. My family plan costs me $1,800 a month. I've got four kids, so I use it a lot.
Oh, my God.
A $4,000 deductible. So I'll pay $4,000 cash before my insurance company even pays a dime.
Ouch.
So unless my wife has another kid, I'm probably not even going to go through that $4,000.
Just one more reason why I have no interest in having kids. Sorry, guys. My girlfriend agrees with me. We're cool like that. So we'll be this really awesome uncles and aunts, you know, we'll party, we'll hang with you guys, and when the kids get annoying, we can give them back.
The world needs people like that, so
I think
you in advance.
Well, I've been hearing that we're a little overpopulated anyway, so I think I'm actually helping the planet. And plus, nobody needs any more of me. But back to your point, that's expensive. That's a lot of money to crush every single month.
So people are starting to be more active in their healthcare, right? So if I treat somebody that's like 65 and older, that population is whatever my doctor said I'm going to do. Like whatever my doctor said I'm going to do. People that get underneath that are younger than that, they're starting to say, hey, I'm paying cash for this anyway.
Right.
Like I'm going to start making my own decisions about this since it's my money.
And the funny thing is there are, and I think that's a generational thing. I mean, because this is actually important. I need your help to kind of cut through that subject right now is that part of my goal for this show is to really try and target that X and Y gen because you and I connect very well with that. But obviously the millennial and this new, I think we're calling it Z gen, whatever it is. So, but there is much more freedom of thought nowadays. And a lot of people, I think, are afraid of it. The older generation, they're just happy to follow the status quo. My parents, if they say, go do this, they go do that. Like his one heart doctor told him to eat a bowl of Cheerios because it's good for your heart. Oh my God, I wanted to jump through the phone and just freak out on him. And I'm like, no, you are 60 some years old. You do not eat cereal. That is not nutrition. But again, another whole subject to have a show on. But back to this freedom of thought, this freedom of decision. How are you getting that message out there in your marketing? Because this has got to be and we talked about this earlier. I'm sure this is going to be a constant metamorphosis for you guys. Mm-hmm. But how did you get this going in the beginning? What have you done to try and get that message out there and educate?
So quick statistics. If you go to your physician with an orthopedic problem, like shoulder pain, back pain is the number one reason why people go to their primary care physician.
Okay.
Only 7% of those patients are going to get a script for physical therapy. So there's what we see in physical therapy is there's lots of physical therapy companies around here. Okay. So they're fighting over the 7%. They're going to the doctor and they'd be like, hey, I'm the best physical therapist. Hey, I'm the best physical therapist. That doctor's getting that message and he's probably just saying, you know, go wherever you want. So instead of fighting over that, why not go after the 93% who don't get a prescription, but still need some kind of direction on where they need to go? And how are you reaching people now? I mean, a lot of it's social media. I mean,
well, and there's plenty of market out there. So it sounds like you guys are niching yourself a little differently than everybody else.
Right.
Is this something you're teaching to other businesses too? Is like how to get better at niching yourself and target those unique audiences?
Yeah. So I'm in different privately owned physical therapy groups that like marketing groups that I work with.
Yeah. Like mastermind groups and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm
big fan.
Yeah. So I'm in a group now of there's 60 or 70 of us that are in a Facebook group that we're just trying stuff. Like, hey, this is working in my market. This is working in my market. So what we're driving to now is it's online education. Mm-hmm. So it's
webinars, things like that.
Yeah. In any kind of marketing, you've got to build authority. Mm-hmm. So you've got to, hey, I know what I'm talking about.
Or just have one crazy, silly, viral video that goes out there. And all of a sudden people just love you from that reason.
Right. I don't have any cats. So I heard that's popular.
Yeah. I'm not a big cat fan either. So
what I'm doing instead of cat videos is I build three video courses. So I've built out a free course. You go into my website and then you can pick. Right now we have five of them for the five major body parts that we see.
Okay.
So neck, low back, shoulder.
And these are targeted towards
anybody that's having questions about it. So we're starting to find now people.
Okay, so this is B2C targeted education.
Yeah. Okay. So people, looking at like targeted terms in Google, like what are people typing in when they go to their doctor, they have back pain. They've been given the typical course of care, which is if you go in your primary care physician, here's what's going to happen. I can save you the visit. You're going to get a pain reliever, muscle relaxer, and an anti-inflammatory. They might do an injection.
All pharmaceuticals.
Yep.
Don't get me going on that.
Let's go back to the doctor. So the doctor, the primary care physician, I really don't envy their position, right? So a primary care physician is told now you have 8 minutes to figure out what's going on with the problem.
Yeah, what's up with that?
So
they're putting a stopwatch on this stuff?
No,
come on.
Yep. So they have to turn over volume, right? Because now these large corporate entities, what's a corporation? What's the number one reason that a corporation exists? It's to make money for shareholders, right? Yep. So if you're not publicly traded,
shareholders happy.
Yeah. So you know, shareholders in terms of publicly traded companies, that's different. But there's a shareholder everywhere. There's shareholders in my company. It's me and my brother. So the number one reason that a company is around is to make money for the shareholders, right? So what are they trying to do? Well, if we give the doctor 15 minutes, he can only see 4 patients an hour. If we give him 8 minutes, guess what? We double up on that. So
okay.
That's what's going on. Wow. So that's a really hard thing to do. So I'm not here to rail on primary care physicians. I think those guys
I agree with you. I agree. I don't want to – I joke around about this, but I agree. I do not envy them at all.
And I have good friends that are primary care physicians. I'm like, man, I don't know how you do that. But that's the tools that they have, right? So if you go into a chiropractor, his tools are mobilization and manipulation primarily, right? If you go into a physical therapist, we do mobilization, manipulation. We do other exercise type stuff. There's a ton of things that go on. We have different modalities. If you go into an acupuncturist, their tools are what? They're needles, right?
Yeah.
So the doctor's only using the tools that he or she has available. So,
and you guys do have, and that's actually an interesting clarification real quick, is because, so I'm a CrossFit coach. I was telling you that earlier. At our gym, we have a friend of ours who's he actually branded themselves the mobility doc. Mm-hmm. And their niche is CrossFit. So they work with all these different CrossFit gyms. Their main center is in our CrossFit gym. And his wife, now wife, she just left the big hospital world and she was a doctor of PT. Mm-hmm. So now him being a chiro, her doctor of PT, I think that's created a great balance. But I think to what you just pointed out is that you guys are permitted to do a lot more than chiro. I don't know. Would you agree or disagree?
More than people think. So if you were to ask 10 people on the street, you know, what does a physical therapist do?
Okay.
The most popular answer is, well, don't they give you like a massage? I think there's some hot packs in there. And I think they do that electric stim thing.
Okay? Yeah.
So that's part of what we do. But the main thing that a physical therapist is, it's a movement expert. Okay. If you're having pain with movement, I can look at that and tell you why that's occurring, what tissues are causing it, and how we're going to fix it.
Okay.
So, and we are uniquely...
Clearly, you have to understand anatomy.
Yeah. So, and now the degree that when I got out of school, we had a master's degree, and that was the big deal degree a while ago. I won't tell you how long ago that was. But at that time, you could graduate with your bachelor's and sit for your boards. Now, you have to have a doctorate.
And that's required.
Yeah. In order to sit for your exam, you have to get your doctorate. So any PT that you see, and myself and my brother, the only PTs in our practice. We have 12 of them that don't have their doctorate. So
what does that force everybody else on your teams to be? I guess they're all
PAs
or physical assistants. I don't know how you call that stuff.
So our model is we have central administration, which if you call into our office from the hours of 8 a.m. until 5 p.m, you're going to go down to central administration, and they're going to because if you call into my office, you're either scheduling an appointment, changing an appointment time, or sometimes you do want to talk to the PT, which is we're a 3-digit extension, send it up to one of our offices, and then we can talk to them, right?
Okay.
So we do administration, billing, collections, all that in one location. At all of our physical therapy clinics, we don't have a secretary that just sits there. Our phone will ring probably twice today in our offices. We keep our offices very, you know, focused on the patient, like it's not focused on administrative type stuff.
Good. That's smart.
So our positions are physical therapist, physical therapy assistant. We have 2 physical therapy assistants. You know one, Jay DeJesus.
Yeah.
Because
crazy biker, man. I mean,
anybody that is on 2 wheels.
Anybody rides on 2 wheels. And actually, you can actually, with him, you can clearly say 2 wheels because, like, I'm a mountain biker and a road cyclist. But this guy's got a motorcycle with a bike rack on the back. And you know when he's driving a while because he'll have his road bike mounted on the back of his motorcycle driving down the road. So clearly, in the Lehigh Valley surrounding area, if you're on 2 wheels, you probably know who this guy is. So
we have 2 PTAs. So their distinction is a little bit different. So it's a 2-year degree. It's a great degree, by the way, because if you can go to 2 years of school and get your hands on patients, I think that's awesome. There's certain things that they can't do. So they can't manipulate. They can't mobilize joints.
Okay.
They can't do initial evaluations or reevaluations. They're experts at executing treatments, like their exercise, taping, soft tissue mobilization. They're experts in that.
Gotcha.
So physical therapy.
So those are the ones, like when we have CrossFit competitions, those are usually the ones that are going there to help. Let's say you guys were sponsoring an event and the massage tables are set up. Those are going to be your people working on those quick injuries, doing the taping, doing all that type of stuff. Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
And then we have an aid position. So the aid, when the phone does ring, or if we do have to collect copays, or if we do have to have patients fill out paperwork, functional forms, that kind of stuff, it's typically a kid that's got a four-year degree that's trying to get into PT school or get into some other kind of school. Like we, our aid position, it's usually like a year that they're here. We call it like a tour of duties because they're trying to get into whatever school they want to get into. So we've graduated nursing students, physical therapy assistants, physical therapists, PAs, you know, whatever, they're kind of in limbo in the education world, which that will take another we're going to be on a lot of podcasts. But
hey, you might be a recurring regular.
there's a lot of garbage science degrees, and I don't want to offend anybody by saying that, but guess what? You graduate with a bio degree. There's not much you're going to do with that unless you go into graduate
but
school.
But biology does teach you a lot.
Oh, yeah, for
but
sure.
But I agree with you. It's like...
It's not a career path.
It's like an English major. Sorry, I have friends that have English majors, but it's like it's generic. Mm-hmm. And a good friend of mine, I went to Penn State with him, and he's like, dude, I'm like, what are you doing? English major. Why? Well, he's like, I'm taking over my dad's company. I just wanted a degree. So I feel bad for people that actually major in English for a reason to be a teacher or whatever, because he's just going through it to have it.
Yeah.
Biology, I don't think is that way. Usually, if you're studying biology, you do care about something. You want to understand something. But to your point,
it's an entry level.
You got to take it somewhere.
Yeah. So that's what the aid position is in our office, which I love because they get to see physical therapy. They come to all the continuing education, the classes.
So
that
do you prefer to hire your aides that have that specific degree?
Yeah, it's almost a requirement because we want to have... Oh. We want to have a kid that is trying to get into a higher level of education, so
and you
want to
mold
something with
them and help them.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so this is important though. Is that your requirement, or has that become an industry standard? Because it seems like there's no, and maybe I won't use the word industry. Maybe this is more of a profession, but it doesn't sound like there's a consistent guideline for the businesses like you guys to follow. It sounds like it's very cowboy, and it's like we're still basically planning out the frontier even after all these years.
Right. So let's move into that. That we hire that degree for a reason because eventually that kid is going to, you know, stay with us for a year, get into PT school, and then guess what? We're going to hire them when they're
done.
Yeah. So it's our pipeline.
Okay.
So that's
smart
how
move.
We have, you know, a constant, you know, list of rotating people that are, hey, I'm graduating from PT school.
And they need to have internships.
Yeah.
Are they interns or are they?
Correct. Yeah. So what they do in physical therapy schools, you have to do rotations.
Okay.
So we have three starting next week in our offices. We just graduated one this weekend where they come for a certain period of time, somewhere usually between 6 to 12 to 18 weeks.
Okay.
And then it's apprenticeship. So think of, you know, any time where you just watch somebody do something and then you kind of transition them into allowing them to do it. And then by the end, they're just doing it on their own.
Yeah.
So that's how physical therapy school works. You do a certain number of weeks of that, and we take students all the time.
Now, I mean, obviously, the other advantage of this is that you guys can also filter which ones you like, which ones you don't. I mean, this is basically, you don't need a recruiting company.
Right.
You have a feeder program.
Yeah. So if you're an entrepreneur out there, you own a business, think of this scenario. You interview somebody. Even if your interview process is really good, like we do working interviews with people.
The turnover is terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like how much better of a decision can you make if you have a patient or a person that comes in for an interview for a couple times, or if you watch them for 6 days?
Yeah, like that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. So pro to the medical world, you guys get all these interns. You actually can not just go off of a verbal interview or a really good YouTube interview that some people are trying to do nowadays, but now you can actually do the hands-on and see how they work with the team, how they work with the customers. Do they actually have good patient to caregiver, I guess, relations? So interesting, interesting. So where do you guys take it from there then? I mean, that's just your model? That's it? That's a consistent across all locations? Mm-hmm. This location being your newest one, 6 months now. Do you have another one planned?
if my wife's listening to this, no, I don't.
Okay. Okay. one step at a time.
Yeah. So
is she still an investor besides investment in through marriage?
She's a daily investor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But in terms of in any kind of business, you need to make an easily reproducible model, right?
Right. So scalability.
Right.
This is if you haven't written anything down from this show, and I'll have this stuff in the show notes, but scalability. If you want to build something that's successful, you got to figure out your system, and part of the system has to be scalability. So, continue on.
If you're interested in that, then read The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. It's the best book.
Oh, yeah. That's on my list.
Yeah. So
I've read them all.
Yeah. He just lays it out in there perfectly. Yeah. I wish I'd have read that when I opened up.
But you know, And I'm still building my business too. This is just a fun project for now on the side that's going to hopefully obviously filter across all platforms and helping you guys out too. But I think it's good sometimes that someone's already, I don't want to say made mistakes. They've gone through some of the challenges, the rigmarole of starting up a business. And then all of a sudden that book shows up on their desk, or they go to a masterminding event or a networking event, or they listen to this episode and you hear E-Myth Revisited. And yes, that is actually one of my required books that I give any of my consulting clients. I'm like, if you haven't read that, you have to go read that. Yeah, I agree with you 110%. So how far into your business, though, did you find that?
Wow. Not soon enough. Probably about halfway through, I would say.
Halfway, okay.
Yeah.
So you and your brother were already working together. You guys had already done that. Now, did you both read at the same time, or was it you first, and then it was like you going to him saying, dude, oh my God, what
have we been doing for the last 6 years?
What the hell
years?
Are we doing, yeah. man?
I can't remember how it happened, but that happens a lot. Like, we're both voracious, you know, consumers of content. So,
right.
And he'll read something. Hey, we got to start implementing
this. Is he a fellow podcast fan?
Oh, yeah, he loves podcasts.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I like it.
Yeah.
So did you read it first or him?
I think I read it first. And it was one of our business coaches originally, Pat Kinsler. He told us to read it a long time ago. And we was like, I don't know. I didn't.
There's so many coaches out there. So this Pat Kinsler guy, is he a niched in your, is he a fellow PT successful business type of guy in your networking groups or?
So he actually, he's really intimately involved in our company. He runs a company that does administration, billing and collections for small physical therapy practices up and down the East Coast.
Very good niche. And
yeah.
He niched himself. So
exactly.
That's good.
Yeah. So, okay. So yeah, he told us to read that a long time ago and
nice.
then we finally listened to him.
Okay. Well, I don't want the whole episode to be just knowledge bombs and nuggets, because it's funny because you listen to different kinds of shows and some have it's just knowledge bomb after knowledge bomb, and it overwhelms me, and I'm like, dude, I need a pen and paper, and I'm driving my car, and I'm
that's
like,
what Evernote's for.
Yeah, well, yeah, again, but you're for driving your car. Evernote people, if you're listening to this, please integrate some type of like steering wheel activated Bluetooth button that I can just start auto recording. Thank you. I'm sure they'll listen to this.
Yeah, here. Definitely.
So. Out of all the business, I mean, this episode's been a lot about business so far, but I think you've been doing this for 13 and a half years. I've been in and around the fitness world on all different gamuts, never as a PT, obviously as a professional, but I've been a coach. I've been a spinning instructor. I'm a ski race coach in the wintertime. So I've seen all sides of it, working with kids, working with adults. I guess, what is the biggest thing that you guys have helped niche out since you said you were doing videos for consumers? Clearly, there's PTs out there that aren't teaching certain things as good as, let's say, and I'm going to go ahead and say you guys. I mean, what the hell? You're on the show. What is it that you guys are doing that's niching you guys differently? Because, I mean, I hopped on your website. I checked out some of your feeds. You know, I'm digging it, the video stuff. So what are you trying to do differently to niche yourselves differently? Besides, okay, I've got multiple footprints, so that works for this local community. And this community just keeps growing because we're right between New York City and Philadelphia, so it's ridiculous. But is there something you guys are doing differently that you've picked up, you and your brother have picked up over the years? It's like, you know what? There's a lot of places missing the boat on this. I'm going to stand out with this.
Yeah, I think if I were to try to put that into words, is we're trying to democratize the human body. So I had to look up what that word is the first time I heard it. But so democratize the human body means, like, I shouldn't be the only one that knows how this thing works. I shouldn't be the only one that has the instruction manual, right? You shouldn't have to go to...
I'm nodding my head yes right now, people. Yes.
You shouldn't have to go to get a doctorate in physical therapy to know how this works. So now the challenge becomes, well, how do I get the information in my head out into some kind of format that people can consume?
Right.
And what works really well? Video.
Yep.
Right.
Video is viral right now.
Yeah.
So
now you have to be good at doing that, because you'll talk to some medical practitioners.
Oh God.
And they'll throw a lot of medical jargon at you, and you're like, dude, I'm down here. You gotta help me out here. And
it's either too high level,
mm-hmm.
or they're just one voice tone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they have no voice inflection whatsoever.
Right.
And we hear this on podcasts, any kind of audio. I don't care if it's video, audio. It's like, dude, if you suck on a mic, put somebody in your place and just feed them the knowledge.
Yeah.
Get rid of the medical speak. Like, let's be real with people.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So
love this.
It's a combination of being able, and it takes a lot of experience, right? So I've been doing this for a long time, and now I'm just starting to get into more speaking and more kind of putting what we need, what we feel like we need out there for to educate people.
Awesome.
So it takes some time. I can show you some old videos of me. They're terrible.
Oh, dude, these are the first, this is going in my first 10 episodes. I'm going to look back at this like, man, that was just crap.
Except this one. This was,
except this one. This was awesome. Okay. So
So it's a combination of that. Like, how do I get this information out to people that need to know how this stuff works? And it's a combination of, I think, medical practitioners are like, if I give out the information, they don't need me anymore, right? Which is the complete...
I agree with you. There is a fear factor there.
Yep. So there's a very closed kind of community of, well, geez, if we give away all our best stuff for free, they're not going to come in, and I'm not going
to... And I was the same way when it came to marketing, social media consulting, because I do that. And again, you and I both do self-help. We both listen to audiobooks. We both listen to podcasts. What is the common message we hear if you want to get people on your email list, you want to get people listening to your videos, whatever? It's give away your best stuff. Yep. Give away the best knowledge. Why? Because number one, it shows you're transparent and you actually give a crap about your audience. Number two, you're actually getting them hooked because they're like, dude, this guy's knowledgeable. I want to come back and listen to more of their stuff. Mm-hmm. So this is good. I mean, but again, we were all at that place before where, oh, well, no, you got to pay for that. So this is good. So how long have you had that epiphany, I guess?
So no matter what industry you're in, whatever you're doing right now, look at other industries and what they're doing. Like, if I only looked at what physical therapy was doing to do marketing, sales, that kind of stuff, I'd still be doing the same crap I was doing 10 years ago, right? Yep. Look at what other industries are doing. So I started to go to like online marketing conferences. Like I went to one out in Chicago. It was a ball. I didn't have a website. I mean, I had my own physical therapy website, but I didn't have, you know, any other things going on that everybody else in the room have. Oh, one guy was trying to sell supplements. One guy was a motivational speaker. One guy that I was in a mastermind group with was a handyman, and he has an awesome podcast and a platform now and an online course about how you can become a handyman and how you can make way better money than working for somebody else.
Nice.
So a bunch of different industries. And I'm looking at what these guys are doing.
He's like the handyman entrepreneur.
He is.
I wonder what his brand is called. He should be called like the handy entrepreneur or something.
Well, we'll put it in the show notes.
I'll
give it to you.
Yeah, we'll use house of the guy.
Yeah, so basically, I was looking at what other people are doing. They said, you got to give away your best stuff for free. Yep. And so if you're listening to podcasts, you probably know who Pat Flynn is. So he was at this conference, and I had breakfast with him.
Pat's awesome.
Yeah.
And he's so young.
Yeah, that's what I hate the most about him.
Yeah.
So I had breakfast with him, and he just had a completely different perspective on his business. But I'm like, man, this relates to my business. And that was a couple years ago now, and it's still, I'm a slow implementer at
times. That's one of the reasons why he's gotten so successful. People like Pat Flynn, my buddy Michael O'Neill from Solopreneur Hour. You got the Gary Vee. He's Gary Vaynerchuk. He's aggressive for some people, but the guy just puts it all out there, man. He's not going to hold anything back. You got John Lee Dumas. I don't know if you listen to JLD.
I've been on fire.
Oh yeah. But they all are saying the same thing in different ways to adapt to their audiences. But if you look at all their websites, you look at all their content, it's just a giant knowledge dump of free. Mm-hmm. Very helpful knowledge. But see, this is how they get you hooked. It's like, here's all this great stuff. And then you're sitting there and you're like, dude, I don't know what to do with all of this stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I go back to the website. They've got coaching groups. They've got seminars, training events. That's how you start monetizing that. Or in this case, how are you applying that to that B2C message? So
right.
You got the videos. Mm-hmm. And how are you helping bring the customers in?
Yeah. So take that idea and just apply it to a brick and mortar. Like it works the same no matter what business you're in. So what we're doing is I'm basically on a 3-video course. I'm teaching you how to be a physical therapist. The first part is looking at, you know, some basic anatomy, breaking down, you know, what's causing the pain, figuring out what kind of tissue is causing the pain in that part of your body, whatever course you do.
Yep.
I show you some self-tests. So tests that we learned in school that you can do on yourself to find out what is causing the problem.
Dude, I've never had a PT ever show me that.
Right. So you wouldn't want to give that away, right? Well, if I show them how to do it, they don't need me anymore, which is crap. There's more than enough patients. If 10 more physical therapy clinics plunk their places down around me, there's more than enough people out there that need help. And it's kind of that.
Unfortunately, I mean, let's be real about it. You can open up 10 other clinics, but the way mankind has been, I'll just say, spiraling in not so positive a direction, yeah, unfortunately, we do need a lot more of you guys. So yeah, people aren't taking care of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, again, man, we're going to have to start our own other podcast because I can talk about that a lot too.
Dude.
So,
so it frustrates me.
Yeah. The point being is a lot of medical practitioners don't work in the abundance mindset, right? They're like, there's only a certain number of patients out there. And if I.
But you were there too at one time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I've seen both sides of it.
Yep.
Now I'm like, I just got to give this stuff away. So on these videos, the last part of the video, the third part of the video is here's three things that no matter what your problem is, like you, there's different tissues that we test with the tests. No matter what your problem is, this is going to help you. And it is. It's going to help you. Now, some of those people are going to do the three things, and it's going to eliminate their pain. And that's great. They wouldn't have needed much physical therapy anyway.
It sounds like it might have been a very light, minor thing. They just need to kind of get released.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And if that helps, that's great. That's why it's out there. But if they need something else, if they need to come in and get a full course of physical therapy, guess who they're going to go to? They're going to go to me. They know me already. Yeah. Right? So they already have
well, the video. They have your face. They have your voice. They, especially if, I don't know how all your videos are, but if you're building a relationship with them, that's the whole point of this content is that you want me in the door. I want to get as much of a taste of you before I come in, you know, visually, physically. So I'm like, okay, am I going to relate to this person? And if I don't, I'm probably not going to come to you.
Yeah. And that works if you're a physical therapist, if you're a carpenter, if you're a carpet cleaner.
This is the way everything is going. Everybody's like, oh, good. I'll just Google him real quick.
Yeah.
If you don't come up on Google, all right, seriously, that's a whole different conversation. That drives me nuts. I have a client right now. He doesn't exist at all. Like, you're killing me. Yeah. I was like, I got to build your brand from nothing.
Yeah.
But I love it. It's a challenge.
Yeah. And so for me, the people that are out there that are listening to this right now, if you're not doing some of that, someone else is going to do it and you're going to miss it.
Yep.
Okay. And so there's tons of content out there. There's different things you have to do to kind of filter through that. But especially if you're in an industry where this isn't happening, which is most brick and mortar industries, if you start doing this, like you're going to be the guy or the girl that is going.
But now let's be honest. And if there's other PTs listen to this, I'm already thinking as a business minded person, I'm trying to put myself into your shoes. And if I was in your shoes right now, saying what you're saying to you 13 years ago, your response probably would have been, where am I going to find the time? Where am I going to find the resources to do all this? So let's honest. That's what most people are usually. That's my first response I get from a lot of people. It's like, they're like, well, I don't know if the time, the money, whatever. It's like, dude, you either care about growing your business and making something scalable, or you like being a robot and just whatever walks in the door, you know, you just keep limping your business along. So how did you overcome that? I mean, let's be transparent here. Are you putting in an extra 2 hours a night? Is it only like, you know what, I'm going to set aside 2 hours a week? Like, what are you doing to help put that extra work out there?
A couple things. There's certain points in anybody's business where there's some sprints, right?
Okay.
So it's just like, we just went through a huge one in the last week in building more courses. So it's me doing video. It's my brother editing the video, spending all night doing that. It's us.
Teamwork. You know,
it's our marketing department that's coming up with the copy that's laying stuff down on there. So the first thing I want to tell you is, and you know this already, there's sprints. There's going to be times where it's like you're not going to get much sleep, and you know you just have to kind of push through that.
But that's the point of a sprint. I think that's
right.
And that's what you guys should be writing down here if you guys are taking notes or Evernoting or whatever. I do love that app. Is it's not every single day. You do little things, and then you plan and schedule that sprint. Like, how often do you do a sprint?
We probably do. Like when we open up a new practice, that's a sprint.
Oh, that's definitely a sprint.
Yep. So that's a little bit longer.
That might be a little bit bigger than a sprint. That might be like a half marathon or something.
We'll call that a half.
Yeah.
We've opened two this year, so it's
Wow.
Yeah.
So, what was the other one?
In Easton.
That was Easton?
Yeah.
Okay.
We opened them actually about a couple weeks apart from one another, which I'll never do again.
Oh, that's that doesn't sound easy.
It's just the way construction worked. But yeah, so those are sprints. So my brother, he ran that one. He sprinted with that. And then I'm in Upper McCungie. I kind of sprinted with this. And now we're 6 months in. I've got a full-time physical therapist that I've hired that was a student here that we hired when she got out of school. So going back to that. And then once, I don't want people to think that, and I get this a lot, oh my God, you've got five practices, you've been in business for 13 years. You must be like playing golf and smoking cigars all day, right?
No. You're still hustling.
Yeah. So
I can see it. I can hear it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, but I mean, that's kind of what gets me. Like, people say, well, if you have everything figured out, like, what would you do with your time? would you just like hang out on the beach? I'm like, no, I'd probably find something else to do.
Exactly.
But to go back to, you know, how do I find the time? First of all, I've got four kids. I coach all their teams. I run five clinics. All my kids are little. So I go 11, 9, 7,
oh, so
5.
That coaching's not ending anytime soon.
No. I'm in this for... So I tell people that tell me I don't have the time. Like I say, if I didn't have kids, I would have cured cancer twice. I would have cured cancer, lost my notes, and then I would have cured it again because that's what I would have done with my time. Like, what are you doing with your free time? Now that's I'm talking to you, a kid guy that doesn't have kids, but that's we're not going to get in a fist fight now, are we?
Oh no.
Okay.
Hey, the last three weekends, if you wanted to find me, I was wielding a chainsaw at Jordan Creek Parkway Park, trying to the county that storm that came through 2 weeks ago and knocked all the trees down and blocked all the mountain biking trails. And the county has two employees, and they only own one chainsaw there. And they're like, "Yeah, we might have it open in 3 months." I was like, "Yeah, that's not happening." So I was organizing volunteers. So that's the problem. Like, I have no problem filling in my time. Plus, playing with chainsaws? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Pretty, right. So let's go back to, you know, it doesn't mean that I'm better than you because I can do all this and I have four kids. It means my reasons for doing things are stronger than my reason for staying in bed in the morning, right?
Let me just quickly dig into that. All right, it's interesting because I have a touchy comment on that. Because I'm the single guy. Or not, I shouldn't say single because I live with my girlfriend. So sorry. The non-parent guy. I get my balls busted all the time by my friends who have family and kids. All of my Penn State friends, except one, you know, all have the family and the multiple kids and everything else. And I'm like, listen, it just means I chose a different path. It doesn't mean that you're more committed to life than I am. And it doesn't mean that they can't do what you're telling us right now for their own businesses, their own jobs. People say all the time, I don't have time. Like, I'm like, you make time for everything. You make time to coach your kids. You make time. You have four kids, so you make time to coach your kids times four. You make time to oversee five locations as a business. It's just cracking the code. It's making the time and figuring out how much time you need for each one of these things that's important to you in your life. So I just get a little, you know, I'll be honest. I get a little pissed when I have friends of mine say, oh, well, you know, you don't understand because you don't have kids. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, no, because then that allows me to fill in time with philanthropic work, charity work that I do. I'm on boards of a couple of charities. I have lots of side businesses. I've got plenty of stuff to hustle because that's how I fill it in because that's what matters to me. But that frees me up to help other people as well. So it's just different. It's just how I'm managing my life differently. But even me, I've got to schedule things. I've got to plan things. So like, so for your sprints and your project work outside of the parenting and everything else, I mean, like when you're doing your videos before the sprint, like, are you doing a video a week? Are you doing, or you wait for that sprint? Like, do you build your storylines, your content, what you want to have? And it's like, all right, guys, let's just crush videos this week.
I think in the beginning, you should do a sprint because you get that like instant gratification. Like, I accomplished something. Like, there's this thing that happens in your brain.
But then you lose the high.
Yeah, right. So now I'm not going to build out, you know, in this last week, we build out five courses. I'm not going to build out five courses this week.
Okay.
I'm going to build out maybe a blog post or maybe an extra video of content that I can add to that.
Well, you definitely need blog posts because now you got to be able to integrate that video content you guys just published into a bunch of follow-up content.
Right. So now I put on a maintenance program. So it's like, all right, we got that done. Let's maintenance. So let's schedule on Fridays 2 hours. That's what I do for those 2 hours is I build content for that. It's only 2 hours in the week. There's a lot of hours in the week.
Nice.
You know, and then just do kind of a maintenance thing. So you still get those wins.
Okay.
Because entrepreneurs are, you know, they're drug addicts, right?
Yeah.
So you have to, the drug of accomplishment, the drug of getting something done, you have to keep some of that in there.
I will tell you though, not all entrepreneurs are the crackhead, like just go nuts for like audiobooks and everything else. I love my girlfriend. She's a doctor. Actually, you went to school in Ithaca.
Yes.
So my girlfriend went to Cornell.
Okay. The smarter people on the other hill.
Well, you know, there's two hills over there. I finally went up there. It's like, you got two big giant hills.
Oh, yeah.
Your school though looks bigger. If you're on one side of town, your school looks massive. And then theirs is hidden in the trees.
It is in the trees. Yeah.
But it's funny because she's a doctor of veterinary, mm-hmm. Specializing in equine.
Okay.
So horses.
Okay.
But then she also went to school and got a doctor in chiro. So she does chiro on animals. God. Yeah. I was
is
like,
that intimidating eating dinner with her? She's like, so much smarter.
Oh, she's definitely smart. And she'll love hearing this. I don't think she'll ever listen to this show. But if she ever listens, there you go, babe. You win. So the funny thing, though, is she did not want to be an entrepreneur. So she does have her and her business partner have their own vet practice here in the Lehigh Valley, and they handle the Poconos and that whole region. But they were working for a doctor before, just like you were. And the guy was just not cool. I'm not going to get into the details. So they said, let's get the hell out of here and let's start our own business. And they did. And she tells me this all the time. She just wanted to come out of school with a great education and work with animals and just be a good doctor. Never wanted to be an entrepreneur. So she and I butt heads all the time because I'm always trying to hustle. And she just is frustrated. She doesn't like running a business. So it's very interesting. I'm like, babe, I'm like, you're an entrepreneur. You're free. And she's like, yeah, I don't really care. Yeah. But I don't know if you come across entrepreneurs like that who they end up opening a business. And I'm like, I think that they haven't found, like, why? Like, what is your why behind that? Like, why did you guys did this? Because clearly you lost your primary feed of customers. But it's bigger than that. I mean, aren't you finding that you're always kind of redefining your why as the business grows? I know I am.
Yeah. And that's something we've kind of worked on recently.
Okay.
I think it does change. I think it's important to have one final destination. But for an entrepreneur, once you get there, you're like, what's the next thing to do? So my whole goal, and you're talking about getting out of school with your girlfriend, your girlfriend's, I just wanted to get out of school and I just wanted to be whatever I went to school for. And that was the original thing that me and my brother did.
Right.
So we just want to get out of school and we want to have a physical therapy practice. Well, we did that at like age 25. Now what do I do for the next
25
years?
Yeah, that's only quarter life, man.
Right.
I mean, like,
so
there's a great book on that, by the way, Quarter Life Crisis. Yeah. I don't know if you ever read it.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Yeah. So once you achieve something, there's some in the physical therapy world. So if you want to go back to that, a majority of private practices are one man shows or one woman shows. So
yes,
so
I do see a lot of that.
You build up your practice to get to, you know, whatever fills your schedule, and then that's it. And there's very few of them that kind of branch out and grow bigger than that.
Clearly you guys have built a scalable model. You know, you're obviously not trying to make the one location dependent just on you.
Yeah.
So.
For lots of different reasons. It's so that I'm not, I do, you know, when I'm older, I don't want to be grinding out 50 hours of treatment in a week. I want to try to be growing.
Because you have a lifestyle, right? Part of your why, and that this is important. That's why I'm digging into this, guys, here. Your why is important. If you're going to crush long hours, or you're going to sit there and instead of listening to the FM radio in your car, listen to digital audiobooks and podcasts as much as you possibly can, because it sounds like Travis and I are definitely both obsessed with them. It's for a reason. There's a why behind that. And yeah, the why will change, but that's why I think it's so important that people have to take the time to stop and redefine the why. It's like your why will change, or when you stop and re-dig into it, you remind yourself of why you were doing this. So it sounds like you got your why clearly changed after 25. You guys became he's parent as well. So
yep.
You guys became parents. You have multiple locations. I think that's definitely room for time to redefine the why. And you said you guys just recently did this. So
yeah.
when was this?
I think that once we had practices and once we kind of said, well, we wanted to open up our practice, we did that. I'm like, well, what's next? And what we really kind of centered around was, we see what's going on in physical therapy. We left physical therapy jobs in order to create something that we thought physical therapy was best designed for. So we have the idea of kind of changing the face of physical therapy, of changing what a physical therapist is. Again, we go back to, if you ask 10 people on the street what a physical therapist is, you get those common responses. No, a physical therapist is a movement expert. If you get hurt and you have pain and you didn't cut an arm off with a chainsaw, you know, you shouldn't be going to a non-movement expert. Whatever your movement expert is, there's massage therapists that are amazing. There's chiropractors that are awesome. Physical therapy is uniquely designed to figure out why you're having pain with movement and fix it. And guess what? If there's something really nasty going on, then we're going to figure that out too. And that's outside the scope of our practice. That's when we refer out. That's why there's been a move towards the doctorate program, because of all the direct access that's happening. So direct access is, you don't need a prescription from your doctor to get physical therapy. All states have some form of it. And as the population gets older and as more people kind of grow into this population, going to a doctor is not only not efficient for you, it's not efficient financially. It's a huge stress on the medical system, which our medical system is either going to explode or it has to have some kind of change because we can't sustain.
This is like the housing market back in 2008, man. That freaks me out a little bit.
So you can go to a physical therapist if you have back pain, and it's such a cheap option for you and your healthcare that it has to move that way. So physical therapists are going to be the first point of contact for people that have orthopedic injuries. So they have to be really good at evaluating that and finding out what happens after that. So to give you a financial example, one of the most common surgeries that we see in the spine is a spinal fusion. A spinal fusion is when you basically glue two spine segments together because the disc and the connective tissue between that is so shot that the only thing that we have to do is immobilize it, and that's it.
And usually that comes from repetitive trauma.
Yep, usually. Or if just you go to a surgeon that likes fusions. Those are becoming more and more popular as we go.
Yes, I have heard of those. Yeah. They're actually recommending that you fuse them.
Right. So here's a cost breakdown. There's a million of these I could do. But you can get a lumbar fusion, and the cost to your healthcare would be the same if you went to physical therapy once a week for 20 years. So you could go to physical therapy once a week for 20 years, which you wouldn't need to do.
Right.
Or you can get a lumbar fusion.
Which has permanently changed your body's ability to mobilize at its full ability. Yeah.
So, and then
with PT, you guys can help us regain that mobility no matter what the age, because I've seen it happen. We have elderly customers at our CrossFit gym. People are like, CrossFit's not for old people. And I'm like, everything is scalable and adaptable to the customer, to the athlete. And we adapt to their ability of range of motion and mobility. It's just, if you take it seriously, it can work for you. Or you go get a surgery and they fuse your spine together, which is not natural.
We weren't designed to do that.
No.
So going back to, you know, the why, right? So why am I growing my practice? Why am I trying to spread out the message that I have?
Yeah.
Because one, it's
well,
easy.
Clearly you've picked up a lot of knowledge over the years and you know more than most PTs, and clearly you're building something bigger. There's a bigger platform coming here.
Yeah.
And there's something going beyond Robin's rehabilitation is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. So changing that in the form of direct-to-consumer education, right? Because I'm not going to go change the minds of physicians. I've tried to do that, and the system just doesn't work
Internet
that way.
That, yeah.
Yep. So I have to go direct to the people that need my help, and getting in front of them is easier than it ever has, right? There's so many different ways to do it.
You do Facebook Live video now, man. I love Facebook Live video. I'm still getting into it, but I'm like, dude, you can do it right through your business page on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So anybody who likes your page can see, do a live update, a quick tip of the day.
Yeah.
I like when I walk in, your chalkboard paint, talking about, I'm always telling people about healthy cholesterol. Thank you for putting that on your board out there. People think saturated fat is bad. Whole different podcast.
Yeah.
So why?
Yeah. So trying to get back to providing that information for people so I can have a bigger impact on the community that I live in. I don't know if I'll be here in the Lehigh Valley. You might see Robin's rehabilitations all over the country at some point. I have no idea.
Don't know yet. Yeah.
So, but for like today, there are going to be 300 people that come through my doors that need my help that I can show them how their body works. I can't do it all myself. I've got to hire really good people to do that. But my why now is to try to change the profession of what physical therapy really can be for physical therapists, give them different options, but more what a physical therapist can give to the patients that they're in front of. And we're so uniquely positioned in this marketplace because when you go to your doctor, you're there for 8 minutes. When you go to your physical therapist, you're there for an hour at least.
Like, you're at your regular doctor for an hour, but you're sitting in the waiting room or you're filling out paperwork. You fill out paperwork for 5 to 10 minutes. Then you're sitting there for probably another 5 to 10 minutes. Then you go into the waiting room with the doctor, and the nurse comes in first. You're waiting there for another 5 to 10 minutes. Sorry for the rant, but you still need an hour, hour and a half to go see a regular doctor.
And again, for the primary care physicians out there, not your fault. It's the system.
It is.
That's the system.
I don't blame the doctor.
That's the system that they're in, right?
Yeah.
So the system that I am in, I have a really unique opportunity to affect this patient orthopedically, but also going more from like, what's going on with your nutrition, your health? Why are you so inflamed to begin with? Why are you in my office? Mechanically, there's issues that are going on. Once we clean that up.
Oh, well, you're coming back on for an inflammatory episode. Don't worry about that, because I can go off on that forever too. But yeah.
Yeah.
Because what is tied to disease? Inflammation of the body. Yeah. And what triggers a lot of inflammation of the body? What you're putting into your body.
Yeah, exactly. And we have a physical therapist that has done a lot of nutritional specialization. And we're doing a course now that we're probably going to do in September. There we're going to open up a nutritional course and how that affects pain in the body.
Awesome.
So that is the bigger picture type stuff. Like what can I now provide? I fix your back pain. I fix your ankle pain. It's pretty easy at this point. We've been doing it for a while, and it's.
But are you band-aiding a bigger issue?
I'm going to see
what's
you
the root
again.
Cause?
Yeah, I'm going to see you again in another 6 months, another 18 months, because you're not doing the deeper
you see,
stuff.
This is where you and the general practitioners can start changing the industry back to the way it was. If you, and I forget what I read an exact quote, but if you go back to the early 1900s or even the 1800s, a doctor, a medical professional, their job was to find the root cause, treat the root issue, but you weren't pumping drugs into people. Mm-hmm. You were helping people figure out what was wrong. The drug was a Band-Aid. It was never the cure. I mean, yeah, we're talking about disease. That's a whole different subject. But the whole point was, like, doctors were actually trying to address root cause issues. Not nowadays, a lot of them are just listening to whatever the pharmaceutical sales rep trained them at the last event on and say, oh, well, if this person has this issue, I got to give them that drug. That drug's a Band-Aid. It's not fixing anything. Sorry for my rant. It's just, it frustrates the hell out of me. So.
It's treating symptoms, right? Yeah. So you're into finding the cause.
Yeah.
Like, the what's been hilarious to me to watch is the erectile dysfunction market.
Oh,
right?
My God.
So yeah. they're treating a symptom, right? We know what the symptom is. Why not go back and find the cause?
Like, well, what now is it's not just that. Now everybody's like spinning off the whole low T market for mm-hmm. the guys. Yeah, so it's like, oh, true. your ED is because you're low T. So here's a drug for that to build your T. I'm like, what are you doing? Just fix your nutrition and start working out more. And I mean, again, I'm not a doctor. Sorry, yeah. But
we only play one on podcasts.
Yes. Yeah. We are. I am fake Scott. Fake Doc Scott.
Right, but a lot of that is education, right? Yeah. So, and it is starting to turn, right? You are starting to see more organic foods in the grocery store. You are mm-hmm. starting to see parents make different decisions.
Yeah. Have you heard the new term biohacker?
Yeah.
Apparently I'm doing biohacking.
Oh yeah.
From what I do in my life, because
like Dave Asprey.
Huh?
You're like Dave Asprey.
Bulletproof coffee, baby.
He's the original biohacker.
Oh yeah, he's a little off the reservation. He's doing stuff that I've never even heard of, right. But. Dave Asprey, Bulletproof Coffee, all of that, it's just breaking the norm. So he's doing this. He's doing the risky stuff that nobody else wants to do. And like you're trying to do to the PT market, you're doing stuff that is just different than the system. You're trying things out with video. You're doing because you're trying to make it better. And there's going to be trial. There's going to be error. There's going to be mistakes. There's going to be successes. But at least you guys are actually doing it. So I'm inspired by your story, man. This is awesome. I love it. So you guys are actually trying to break the mold. And clearly you're doing it because there's not a lot of PTs who have multiple locations that are still privately owned, that haven't fully joined the network world and all that. But, well, heck, man, this has been awesome. I mean, I know you got a business to run. We've been chatting here for now a little over an hour. So we've already dropped a lot of knowledge bombs. I'm going to have some crazy show notes from today. I guess, is there anything else, like as far as a message that you wanted to put out there? First time being on the Live the Fuel show. Again, our goal is to fuel health, business, and lifestyle for people. So is there anything else that you think is a good parting message?
Yeah, I would say no matter what you're doing, just start taking action. Like action will lead to a ton of failure, which is good.
Yep.
Failure is a really, really good thing. And you're hearing that from a guy that, you know, whatever you think about me, you don't know me that well, but you have five locations, owns his own practice. I'm doing something right. There's some amount of success that I have achieved, but I'm failing every day. Like I'm trying to do as much as I can.
And part of that action is also doing stuff you're not going to want to do, right. But you have to do it just to get by. Yeah. You know, like, you know what? I'm going to have to do this thing. I'm going to have to take on that client that I didn't want to take on, but it's going to pay the bills until I get this next step of action, a step established, and then I don't have to do that again.
All right, so let's give everybody an actionable tactic.
Yes.
When you get up in the morning, write down the five things that you have to get done that day or that you want to get done that day. Rank them in order of the one that you least want to do, that's the one you have to do the first.
Yeah.
That you have to do that. That thing that is makes you most uncomfortable. If you're a PT or and you've got to go out and meet with a gym owner and because you want to try to do some cross marketing with him, but that makes you nervous. Like when I first started doing this, there was nothing more intimidating than like trying to go set up a meeting with someone because he doesn't think I know what I'm doing, or you know, he doesn't know me. Like that's super scary thing. When you write your five things down, do that first. And then the rest of the day.
I love the power of five, but I'm going to go ahead and add a little addition to that only because it was a different angle and I just started doing it. Exactly what Travis just told you guys, except I'm now doing it right before bed. Why? Because it just, I don't know what it is.
Is your mind?
It's a mind thing. I don't know what it is, but right before I go to bed, I put it in my Evernote or I load it as a calendar reminder. So when I wake up, that calendar reminder comes up on the phone, but those five things are right there. Because then in the morning, I could do what you just said, which is now I can prioritize. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to focus on too much deep thought right before bed. I'm just going to write down those five goals for tomorrow. And then when I wake up in the morning, let's go ahead and hit some strategy on that and figure out what's going to be most important. So that's kind of piggybacking off of what you said there. But some people are morning people, like with fitness. Some people are evening people.
Yeah.
But I just started testing that. I forget if I heard that from Gary Vee. I think it might have been from John Lee Dumas. But great tip. It's something that people, I think, overlook. I'm not a good journaler. I wish I was. I wish I had a bigger blog. I don't. I just hate writing. I don't know what it is. That's why I'm launching a podcast. So, but I think that's a powerful tip. That's a great way to end the show. So, Travis, thanks for the time today, man. This is awesome.
And I'll be on again, right?
Oh, yeah.
If this one doesn't bomb. Dude,
I mean, we had so many side conversations that spawned up on this thing. I love the natural flow of it. We're going to have to address these things down the road here. So, yeah. Well, thanks for coming on. That's the show, guys. Again, Live the Fuel Show. We're here to fuel your health, business, and lifestyle. So stay tuned to the next one. I'll talk to you guys again soon. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.